Like to call to order the March 1, 2023 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Mindy, do we have anybody attending by phone? Do we have anyone attending by phone? All right, so assume everybody has looked at the agenda for this evening. Do I have a motion to approve?
A motion, we approve the agenda as presented.
I think before that, we have to excuse Tony.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you're right, yep. Yeah, so Tony is unable to attend this evening. Do I have a motion to excuse Member Garbright?
Okay.
Or Tony.
Tony.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to move Tony Garbright.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so Tony is excused for this evening's meeting.
Now I'll make my motion to adopt the agenda as written.
I'll second.
All right, favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so we've got the agenda adopted. Assume also you guys have had a chance to review the minutes. Any suggested changes?
Nope.
Okay.
So. I made the suggested changes that were emailed to us, but because the agenda was already published, I couldn't change that document out, but I do have a real copy for you to sign tonight.
Okay.
With the correction.
Okay. And that was just the ending as far as title and stuff? Okay. All right, so do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes, subject to the changes by Mandy.
Okay.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so minutes approved. I don't think we have any public comment at this point, right? All right, so we'll move on. Old business. Attorney Eldridge, this is, thank you.
This, I didn't look at the agenda. This is 1508120I, correct?
Yes.
You got before you revised text from last month's meeting. As I thought about it, most of the issues seem to be concerned with the former language, which I don't think shows up. I think I deleted it from this, but if you recall, last month's document or draft had the building inspector making a recommendation as to whether the COA should be granted or denied. A lot of issues came up. The more I thought about it, they all seemed to be associated with that part of the text. So I simply deleted making a recommendation. But I do think it's important for the building inspector to prepare the report, to appear and testify and submit that report into evidence. I say that for a couple of reasons. One, the code currently requires, as you can see in the current text, such a report. And two, I just think it's important to have some sort of evidentiary basis in the record in case the lay applicant doesn't really know how to conduct an evidentiary hearing. And again, I refer you back to, for those who are on the HPC, refer you back to the Roberts, the Cary Beach, I forget the name of the entity, but the COA hearing that we had, the representative for the applicant had, I mean no disrespect, but it seemed to me that she did not have any idea how to present the case as evidence in support of whether it complied with the design standards and the criteria review. And it wasn't until the building inspector testified that we had the necessary evidentiary showing. Without that evidentiary showing and accepting an application that would stand by itself, which this one probably could, it still is not difficult to imagine a situation where a lay applicant ought to get a COA but doesn't know how to put on the evidence to do it. So I think the building inspector's report is a key ingredient. And bottom line, I just dropped the recommendation. And what you have before you is the current text, and if you vote to recommend town council's approval of it, the very last page of your agenda packet would be the required consistency statement that you would then act upon. So I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Okay.
I don't have a really question. I do have a couple comments. First, I think it is important. I've served on many commissions and councils in my life, and there's always some form of a staff recommendation. And so this really kind of represents what we're trying to achieve right there. I do believe that the thing that I would add is that whether the proposed work complies, I would say whether the proposed work complies in the building inspector's opinion. Because again, we're back to the whole situation that if it's an affirmative statement from the building inspector, then you know why do you need the HPC to make a decision?
With all due respect, I don't think it's necessary to add that. We're not dealing with expert opinions in this matter. We're dealing with substantial material and competent evidence. And under the code, under the preservation district regulations, the building inspector's job is to review and discuss and report on that report. And I think he's competent to provide that information. We can add that phrase if you want, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely competent, and we probably almost always agree with him. But I think that we need to make sure that it's a recommendation, that there's language in here that it's a recommendation or in his opinion.
I go back to where I started tonight. I don't think we need a recommendation. I think it's sufficient if he addresses or he or she addresses the compliance with the design standards and the criteria. Don't forget, you all have to make the findings of fact. And you do that based on the evidence that supports those findings. And if the building inspector gets up and says, hey, in my opinion,
there you go.
But we can build it into the code if you want. I just don't think
it's necessary. I'm perfectly happy with this, but I would put that one phrase in there. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. The commission can instruct, if there's a consensus on that, we can do that.
Well, Attorney Eldridge, I think you just said that you're saying we shouldn't require a recommendation, but yet the report is a recommendation, right? I mean, the report is indicating whether he believes that it complies or not.
The report is addressing whether the proposed work complies with the standards. I don't think that's the same thing as an opinion. I agree with Craig that just about everything that appears before a planning board or a governing board usually has a staff recommendation. However, I do carve out quasi-judicial decisions because the burden is on the applicant to prove by evidence, and they have to put forward that evidence. The evidence from the building inspector would just be one part of that evidence. Again, last month everybody had an issue with the word recommendation. Now you all kind of fit it back in.
Well, I like opinion.
I was just trying to clarify.
I like opinion. But anyway.
Can I comment?
Certainly.
So I have the same concern about the ordinary layperson coming in and understanding what's required of them for this quasi-judicial hearing. I'm not sure what a report from me would do to help that process. I think that's still a very large concern with, making residents in the B1 district go through this process for, requirements that are, ambiguous at best if you actually read through the design standards. I mean,
yeah. So, Attorney Eldridge, would you anticipate the applicant having the knowledge of the report outcome prior to or at the hearing?
Well, he gets the application material at the same time you all do.
Well, I wasn't finished yet either. I'm not going to present a case to you guys without it being a completed application. So it either does or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then I'm not even going to submit it to you. So I'm happy to write a report. You're exactly right, entirely correct. It is normal for staff to present a report on or an introduction to something of this sort. So I'm still concerned about the average property owner that has to go through this process to do small upfits to their properties.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman, to answer your question you directed to me a minute ago, the report, which will go into the record as an exhibit along with the application and anything else that's tendered at the hearing, those are administrative materials, and we generally don't put those out ahead of time or too much ahead of time to prevent fixed opinions or biases or prejudice coming into the hearing, because you all have to be, HPC has to be impartial. But we do, and the code provides for giving you all and the applicant the administrative materials approximately 24 hours ahead of time. So they would get a copy of the report at that time.
Okay. So at least they'd have that to prepare, to understand kind of where.
Yeah, again, I take you back to the HPC COA hearing, and there was no way the applicant was going to get that COA legally until John testified.
Agreed.
That's all I got to say.
Agreed. Yeah. But I think John's point's well taken. I'm still struggling with that same issue is, you know, is the applicant prepared to come into a hearing?
For every municipality and every county in the state of North Carolina that provides for quasi-judicial hearings, which is 100%, and that's just the way it is. It's very, it is, I'd be the first to tell you that it is extremely difficult for a lay person to grasp the concept of a quasi-judicial hearing and their burden of presenting, quote, material, competent, and substantive evidence in support of whatever it is they're trying to get. I agree with you. I've been there. I've done this for 30-plus years. I've had a hearing where I represented an applicant for a daycare center, and I knew I played it by the quasi-judicial book. And it was a red button issue, and there was a lot of opposition. And the thing I remember most is the representative of the opponents getting up and saying, "We object. Mr. Elder's trying to make this into a trial." Well, that just goes to show you they don't know how to do it, and they won't know how to do it. And it's a problem we have to wrestle with, you and every other planning board and every other governing board in the state of North Carolina. And that's why I'm spelling it out in this text amendment, for the building inspector to provide a report, appear, testify, and put it into the record. And I preface my remarks by saying that that assists the layperson rather than defeats their purpose.
Understood. John, did you have anything else?
I was just going to point out that most other quasi-judicial hearings are usually related to variances or disagreements with or appeals to the zoning officer's decision. So I would argue that, you know, an applicant would be way more prepared in a situation like that versus what we're looking at here, which the fact of the matter remains, if they fall into the confines of what the design standards are, why are they having to come to you guys to ask permission when it clearly falls into what's allowed on those design standards? And I'm telling you that it clearly falls into those design standards. So I struggle with understanding, and I've said this from the beginning, the need for every bit of this process. I feel like it is an undue hardship on our property owners. And that's my only point.
And I'll remind Planning and Zoning Commission that the reason we're here, or the reason we have an overlay district, historic preservation overlay district, is because there is absolutely no other way, based on a statutory prohibition, to control design elements of exterior features. And the whole genesis of this historic district was the ability to control that so the town wouldn't lose its small town family-friendly charm. Point two, if you had attended the recent Board of Adjustment hearings regarding a variance and one case and an appeal in the other case, I would argue strongly that those lay applicants had no idea what to do. And there wasn't a staff, it wasn't appropriate to have a staff. Well, there was some staff input from the code enforcement officer, which did assist the board in making its decision. Getting back to the overlay district, everything that we've done, the promulgation of design standards, criteria review, and the procedure that we follow, is straight out of the enabling statutes, and that's the way it has to be done. The enabling statute says that if you set up one, that proposed work is handled by a certificate of appropriateness hearing, that that hearing is quasi-judicial, yada, yada, yada. I'm not, none of this is invented. It's all strictly out of the authorizing statute. And it's the only way to control exterior features. Yeah.
I personally would rather we not get into a debate about the value of the HPC and all that sort of thing. It's a done deal. We have it. I think it's absolutely appropriate. We spent about a year and a half or 2 years working on that. I think the point of issue is what we're asking John to submit to the HPC here. And that's what we need to focus on.
I don't know how much more clear I can be that the building inspector looks at the proposed work and just reports on whether it complies with the design standards and the criteria review. How else do you want to word it?
So, Jim, did you have any thoughts on this?
Mainly that we've got an attorney and we pay him for his advice.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Jeff?
So I'm willing to...
Gotcha.
I'll mail out my invoice tomorrow.
I understand the concept, what Jim's saying, but I just want to make sure we don't get to the point where we're putting the burden on John to justify what they're trying to present. I know that's not the intent, but...
That's not what the text amendment says.
Yeah.
I don't mind writing a report, guys. I really don't. I just wanted to, you guys to hear what I have to say and think about it. And the town paid me for my opinion also. And I'm the one that's out there dealing with these people. And so I'm just giving you feedback that I'm hearing and from what I see.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no issue with the wording of the text amendment. I guess maybe the process in general needs a little touch-up, but that's not in front of us.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make a motion then to approve the proposed text amendment and submit it to the town council with our recommendation for approval with the insertion after complies to insert in the building inspector's opinion.
I second the motion.
Motion on the table.
So, ready for a vote? So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, 3-1.
Okay.
If you look at your last page, that should be the proposed consistency statement. Again, anytime the planning board or planning and zoning commission reviews a proposed text amendment to the zoning regulations, which this is, you have to address the consistency of the proposed amendment with the land use plan. And if you look at the right up from the bottom, the indented paragraph, based on the commission concludes that the proposed amendment is consistent with policy 5.1.N of the CLUP, which provides as follows: the town supports maintaining its 1940s, 1970s coastal community heritage within Turtle Beach's downtown preservation district and shall require certificates of appropriateness where applicable. And don't forget, minor work doesn't go through the COA hearing. To ensure exterior elements of new development and improvements to existing development are compatible with the district's character. You all agree with that finding, you could entertain a motion to adopt the proposed consistency statement.
Do you have a motion to adopt?
A motion we adopt the contingency statement to approve the...
Well, you're adopting a consistency statement showing the consistency of the new text amendment.
Yeah. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you, Attorney Eldridge. All right, new business. This was a permitted uses topic of which we've kind of subdivided it into sections. And before jumping into this, I'd like to ask Mr. Batson to speak to the specifics that we're hoping to accomplish in taking on this task.
I believe the reason that this was put on the agenda was based off the comments that I've made in the past. I've mentioned to you guys several times over the last probably 6 months or so that we were looking for new things to go on our agenda, though it would be a really good exercise for us as a whole to maybe go through some of the surveys that we got back from the land use plan and look at what they like most about Cary Beach, and then go back and look at what we have in our permitted uses and how kind of off the wall some of the things are that you know are in our different districts, and then go through and edit those things. Or leave them alone. I don't know. But to give you an example of what I'm talking about, in the RA2 district, you're allowed to have a one and two family dwelling, a one and a two family dwelling. You're allowed to have an office for recognized professions such as a doctor, dentist, engineer, etc. Customary home occupations, laundering, cooking, music teaching, religious institutions, parish houses, Sunday schools. You're allowed to have a college, a school, a public library, a public museum, an art gallery. If you want to clean up the ordinance, I believe this is, this might be a good place for us to go through and start, just because it's pretty obvious, at least in Cary Beach, we're getting to the point of being built out. If we have 173 lots left or something like that. Number one, there's not enough room for any of these types of permitted uses to go in. The likelihood of that ever happening is highly doubtful, in my opinion, just because of our location as a seaside beach resort town.
I was going to say, the reason we ended up picking these specific ones under New Business 6.1 is that it seems to be the easiest, I think, to look at some of the residential zoning before we get into the commercial things, and and that's always struck me. I know, I've been on the board for 14 years or something like that, and it's always been fascinating to see what is allowed in residential, because residential to me means residential. And there's a lot of non-residential things that are allowed in some of these, and they're not consistent. You look at the definition of home businesses in, let's say, RA1, and it's just home business as defined in a prior section. And then in other ones, it actually lays out the various home businesses. So there's a lot of inconsistency that I think it's probably worthwhile going through. I think some of the stuff is fairly easy, and I agree. Just looking at RA1, which is the very first one we look at, you have a very long, one-family dwellings, and you have, a very long discussion of religious institutions. Then you have colleges, schools, public libraries, public museums, art galleries, and other public buildings. For example, I would suggest deleting that, for example. Yes?
Chairman, can I interrupt for
a moment? Oh, I'm not Chairman, but okay.
I mentioned last, John, here, I got a couple of you. I mentioned last time that it may be just me. I find it absolutely impossible to consider whether and how to amend a text amend a regulation without that regulation in front of me. Okay? And so I took the trouble, and it's only because I happened to think of it this morning, to produce this document to help our discussion.
Are these all the different districts?
The ones that are on tonight's agenda, permitted uses. Because you don't have iPads. I don't have iPads. More importantly, it wasn't posted to the agenda, which I think it should be. And I would ask the commission to instruct whoever to make sure future ones are. Because, again, I just happened to think of it.
Yeah,
and it's not fair for staff to have to think of it either. Mm-hmm. But it'll, again, maybe it's just me, it'll certainly help me.
I'm making a note.
And then, John, taking a step back, before we actually kind of jump into these various zones, is there anything, you know, sacred about these zones specifically? I mean, so in other words, all the zones that we currently have, that all should remain exactly the way it is?
You know? I don't think we're trying to rezone this.
Yes, that's, okay.
But that's why I keep bringing up the land use plan. I think we got 970 responses for our land use plan survey, which is astronomical, right? 2,200 residents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really want to see how people want to see Cary Beach progress, then we need to be paying attention to those, and then edit our ordinance accordingly. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And again, I think the only reason, I'm not sure this is, it sounds like the issue came up, but I think we just started at the top of the district list and picked the first five or six to break up these things into digestible bites as we move. My understanding, we're going to be looking at all the permitted uses, so this is a fairly comprehensive project.
Can I ask one question of our attorney? We have, of course, the overlay district, the mixed-use overlay district, going through some of these residential zones. And in the mixed use, the whole idea is to have commercial activities, for example, on the first floor and then residential on the second and possible third floor. If we, just to make sure, because I know some of the members weren't here when we talked about the mixed use overlay, if we change any of the allowable uses in the zoning that is under the mixed use still dominates, doesn't it?
It depends on what the mixed use district regulations say. Have you got it there in front of you?
No, I don't. I have a zoning map in front of me. I'm looking for zoning.
My recollection is that, and I could be totally wrong, do you remember the, it's right before 1508120. Hang on a minute, because I thought there was a special use requirement for commercial uses within that district.
The reason I ask is because the mixed use goes up third, and that cuts across RA1 and RA2. So before we talk about...
The overlay district controls, regardless of what you do on the underlying district, but the answer to your question depends on what the regulations are.
It's all about special use, and it's all spelled out.
Yeah, so that answers your question. If anybody, you can change the permitted uses underneath the overlay district, and it doesn't impact the overlay district because any use within the overlay district is by special use permit.
Okay, all right. And again, just very quickly about the overlay district, that was actually in the original land use plan, and
the mixed use overlay?
Yes, I mean the original, well it wasn't in, but it was suggested that that be a mixed use type of thing going up third, and so we finally did this. This is my goodness, probably about, 8 or 9 years ago or 10 years ago or something like that.
Before my time.
Yeah, and so that was, there's been absolutely no interest by anybody, and I'll ask John that. Has anybody shown any interest in doing anything in the mixed use area?
One time.
Oh, okay. I think as we get built out, as John mentions, we might get built out pretty quickly. I think there's probably going to be more interest in the mixed use. Right. So just want to make sure that as we talk about the RA, there is that little band going up Third Avenue that is still dominated by the uses defined in the mixed use.
I wanted to point out that the last page of the handout that I handed up is the definition for home occupation. So you might want to, since some of the district regs refer to that, I went ahead and included that.
Okay.
My recommendation is we just walk through these one by one and
I agree.
See mm-hmm. if you have any thoughts, and if so, whether there's a consensus on how to proceed.
Just
did you need one?
Yeah.
Just a quick question in advance. So what's the distinction between RA1 and RA1A?
1A is beachfront. And it also goes in.
Beachfront and further north.
John.
And it also is inside.
So 1A.
The distinction is?
Here. It's a location.
I guess.
Yeah,
it's here's the RA1 here.
Over there?
Or RA1A is here, and then RA1 is the older part coming back. Here's for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
The difference between RA1 and RA1A...
See, 1A goes all the way down here, though. 1A.
Is 1A... 1 has B, all those strange permitted uses that 1A. The building inspector read out. But also, another difference between the two is 1A allows for non-commercial recreational facilities, whereas 1 doesn't have that permitted use. Mm-hmm. The rest of the, in all other respects, those two districts' permitted uses are the same. So it's D on 1 and D on 1A. Mm-hmm.
But is there some logic behind why we have those two different districts?
Well, they were adopted back in 2011, and probably just the way they were drafted.
Actually, they've been there since 1973. Hmm. I don't know why, to answer your question.
Okay. But we're living with that situation.
If you're asking whether this is current text, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we're going to start walking through RA1 to start with, RA1 does have churches in it, religious institutions. One of the things I do think, and we talked about this several years ago, Mr. Eldridge, about making sure, because originally they were defined as churches, and we had to make sure that we changed them to religious institutions.
Yeah, I do remember something about that.
Right. So we need to make and be sensitive to that particular issue. But I think we dealt with that probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was.
It was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Because it used to say churches rather than religious institutions.
Yeah, I remember that. That's we included parish houses as well. Yep.
I don't believe, John, there are any colleges, schools, public libraries, public museums, art galleries, or any other public buildings in RA1, do you? I would recommend that we eliminate C out of RA1.
Where? Oh, C. Is there a consensus on that?
Well, what is meant by public buildings, by the way? Are we talking about town buildings or public or gathering centers for public?
We have to see whether that was defined in 1502.010, that if it's not, the common meaning of that would be buildings by of the town, like the public works building, for example, or the oceanfront park.
We have other language in the ordinance that allows town buildings in any jurisdiction.
In fact, I think there's a recent ordinance that means that the town doesn't have to follow any of the things in planning and zoning.
It is defined.
Public yes, it is.
Shall mean any building or structure meant to benefit the public and from which the town derives a franchise tax or other form of annual revenue other than property tax or privilege tax. I don't know about that last qualifier, but it works with the community center since they rent that out. But I don't know that. I think the public works building is a public building. I think the oceanfront park, I guess they rent out the oceanfront park as well.
Mm-hmm. Would it make sense because of that definition to, if we were interested in eliminating colleges and libraries and museums, to leave public buildings in?
So that's a policy decision that the commission needs to decide.
Hey, Jim, after the definition of public buildings that you just read, it references 1508.070, which is more specific about public utilities and facilities.
Well, I guess that means that those are included. But
included?
The definition is what we're working with. Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not that familiar with our water and sewer service, but if there's any buildings from which those operations are carried out, I would say those are public buildings.
Yeah.
Well, then I would recommend on 1A.
1A or 1?
On, excuse me, RA1. And I'll go ahead and put this in a motion just so we can move forward.
Well, I think consensus is fine because once we get an agreement, then we'll draft proposed text amendments.
Okay.
And send it back to you.
All right. So I would just recommend for discussion purposes that we eliminate college, schools, public libraries, public museums, art galleries, and other from C and just include public buildings.
Leave public buildings in?
Leave public buildings in.
Any discussion or consensus on that recommendation?
All right, so again, coming back to this definition, so this would enable people to convert homes in that zone into a public building.
I don't think that's possible because there it would be a private interest, not a public building at that point. I guess if they sold it to the town, but the town's responsible for public buildings.
Okay. Okay.
Let's look at the definition one more time. Public building shall mean any building or structure meant to benefit the public, which is where I would stop that definition. I would delete the rest of it, and from which the town derives a franchise tax or other form of annual revenue. Again, if there's a water and sewer building, you don't get your revenue from the building, you get your revenue from the service. I think we just should stop that definition at benefit the public, period.
That's that, and I have to admit, I mean, just a little sideline. That's an odd definition for a public building, to be honest, because one could argue that any business benefits the public. Mm-hmm. You know, as an economist, that would certainly be my argument. But
say town owned.
Town owned would make a lot more sense of putting that definition, but that's a separate issue in terms of the definition.
Yeah, but that would clarify. Yeah. If it's, you know, I think if it was town owned.
Town owned, or yeah, I'd say town owned.
There's already catch-alls in the ordinance for town-owned buildings and water stations and public utilities. All of that's allowed in any district, no matter what.
Okay.
I just take that part out of the.
If John, as John pointed out, there's no reason to have it then.
Yeah.
So I would say just eliminate C then.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a consensus on that?
So John, could you read us that one that kind of contradicts everything else?
Sure. There's two of them. Okay. The first one is. 1508060. Town buildings and facilities shall be permitted in all zoning districts and shall not be considered to be non-conforming to the area in which they are located. These include, but are not limited to, town hall, town fire station, town garage, various lift stations, well sites, water storage tanks. Town fire and emergency buildings and facilities shall not be subject to setback requirements. The second part of that is 1508070. Public utilities and facilities necessary to the public health, safety, and welfare shall be permitted in all zoning districts and shall not be considered non-conforming to the area in which they are located, provided that they do not present a health hazard or create noise pollution. And then it's got some more in there. But.
So maybe I missed it. Like, is like a town hall situation inclusive there? Yeah, it just sounded like that was more like utility kind of
language.
Capture
everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Capture everything that the town does, basically.
All right. So to Craig's point then, should we just eliminate C altogether?
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a consensus?
That's a consensus.
Consensus,
right?
Yeah.
What's the next item you want to look at?
I think D and E make sense. You know, I think that, you know, we're going to allow home occupations. D, accessory buildings, I mean, that's a fairly straightforward type of thing. John, why is that even in there?
You'll find that throughout our ordinance.
Yeah, I mean, but does that make sense to have in, I mean, don't we allow accessory buildings just in our general ordinance, or do we just allow that as a zoning use?
It's got to be in the permitted uses.
It's got to be permitted use, okay, accessory buildings, okay.
The only thing I never understood about that ordinance is that at the end of it, it says accessory buildings shall be constructed at time or following construction of the main building.
No kidding.
And the only reason I bring that up is because I have been approached by property owners over the years that I wanted to just put a 10x10 shed on a vacant lot, but house a lot more people. So they didn't have to drag it down on the trailer every time they came down to mow their grass.
Right.
So you would recommend that maybe we take out the sentence provided afterwards?
I'll just point out an issue I've had.
I mean, it certainly doesn't add anything because I would assume there are a lot of accessory buildings that have been added.
After the main building.
Well, I guess that is allowed. It says or following construction. I mean, it seems to be kind of a moot point. I mean, the only thing that would be prohibited is an accessory building that was added before the construction.
That was John's point.
Yeah.
So, John, do you have a recommendation that you would like that?
Let's just leave it alone.
Okay.
And that would be my only recommendation for 1A1, or RA1, excuse me, RA1. Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm good with removing those. Just want to mention that when we change it in the ordinance, we need to also change it on the zoning map legend.
Right.
Which is the other place it exists.
I did have one other, excuse me.
Let me ask a question. How does the legend refer tree permitted uses? I mean,
I have a copy of it here.
There's a legend to this?
Yeah, it's a legend to that.
The zoning map amendments are a totally different animal. And I'd like to avoid that if we could. It's
titled, it's right after the zoning map, Legend of District Permitted Uses, and it lists all the districts.
Let me see, that's a current hard copy of the code? Is that part of the zoning map or part of the...
It's a separate document.
But it's not in the code.
It's just something someone, I think, created. No.
Page 371.
Something someone created. To go with the zoning map.
No.
It's on
our
like that.
Just looks at this. This is an actual list.
Yes.
Kind of is a duplicate run of what we're reading.
Yeah.
Which is what I was pointing out in this twice. That there's just
so,
and this and that.
So it seems obvious that it has to be consistent, or is there any thought about not having the legend?
I think Mandy made a great suggestion. I've never seen legends that spell out permitted uses of zoning maps. Let's kill the legend and just go with the ordinance.
That's fine.
I mean, honestly, this is just a PDF document that someone created trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
So
that point in time was fine, but...
Yeah, we can easily take it off the website.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
You want me to take it off now?
That was a good catch, Joe.
So that means it'll be removed anywhere in the...
Specifically right after this map.
I don't recall that legend. 15 referring to the zoning map legend.
I didn't see that anywhere either. The zoning map is on the website, and right with it on the website is this legend. So it just has to be dropped from the website.
Right. I can do it right now.
It's not referenced in the ordinance anywhere.
Yep.
The zoning map is, but not
the... Goodbye, it's getting ready to go.
Okay.
It's gone. It's the fastest we've ever done anything here.
All right, so does that conclude RA1? All right.
RA1A, when I was looking at this, what struck me, and I think this is fine because we don't have all that, the colleges and stuff like that, but we have non-commercial recreation facilities such as clubhouse, swimming pool, and tennis courts. And one thing that struck me is, why isn't that in RA1?
Right.
And why is it in RA1A? Is there an HOA in RA1A at all? Is that why that's in there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a 2A, it's a 1A.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the broader question is, should there be any reason to have differences between RA1 and RA1A?
Uh-huh.
I don't think we need to spend our time micromanaging those kind of considerations. You've got a zoning, if you want to, I guess it turns to be the HOA that the building inspector thinks is there, and thus it would make sense, but...
Yes, there are.
Okay, so that's why that's in there then. Okay, all right. I don't have any recommendations for RA1A.
Okay.
So that's the consensus we'll leave at 11?
You guys good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. RA2, when I was looking at that this morning, that's one where I have some issues. And I'll just go ahead without making any formal recommendation here, is that if you notice we have customary home occupations, I would replace C with our just a regular definition, home occupations as defined in KBC 15.02.010, and eliminate C that defines all these other different things.
You would use the same language that's in subsection E for RA1?
Yes, correct. Again, I would eliminate E then, college, schools, etc. And when you look at B, B is the Office of Resident Members of Organized Professions. So we're allowing dentists and engineer offices and all that sort of thing. And it says carried on in their respective residencies. Well, we already allow that in the definition of home business, as long as it satisfies the requirements of no advertising and all that sort of thing. So I would also recommend that B also be taken out.
And what was the other one you would take out, E?
I would take out B, C, and E, and then replace that with the definition of home occupations as defined in KBC 15.02.010.
So that pretty much mirrors RA1.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Once you kind of pare it down.
I'm sorry, I must have missed something. You want to replace, I got C, you want to take out B. What are we doing about D? Did we change anything?
No, that's still the same language as in the other ones, too. Mm-hmm. And then take out E, which is colleges and museums.
So are you taking out D as well?
Yeah, B, C, and E. And then we're adding or replacing either B or C with the statement about home occupations
as defined, in KBC 15.02.
Leaving D.
Keeping D, right?
Well, that's my recommendation, but, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we do have churches and religious institutions, not churches, religious institutions scattered throughout the town.
We have them in RA1, RA2, and RA4.
So, yeah, so we already have one in RA2, so I think we should leave that use in there.
All right.
Consensus on that?
Yeah, so deleting B, deleting C, referencing KBC 15.02.010 as far as permitted home occs, and then deleting E.
Right.
Okay.
In RA2, we have the Lutheran Church, and recently called me and asked about the steps necessary to pursue opening a full-fledged preschool location. They already operate as basically a daycare center there.
I hadn't thought about that. A lot of the churches do. Daycare,
what about
preschool?
Bible study or something? Is that?
I'm throwing it out there that maybe we can add on to that religion.
Add on to the religious institution definition.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. What definition?
So I mean, there's not even
church, mosque, synagogue, temple, or other place of religious worship.
Well, we have Sunday schools and religious annexes, so...
I'm looking at the definition of religious institution.
Oh, okay.
It simply says church, mosque, synagogue, temple, or other place of religious worship. To me, if you keep it simple like that, we're not regulating what occurs inside the church. If they want to set up a preschool, I don't know that that definition, the narrow definition I just read, I don't think it's prohibited under that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think preschools are a little bit different. I mean, preschools are money-making. People pay for it. I mean, it really is a school. It's a preschool.
It says shall not be used to generate unrelated business income.
And there also got to be some state regulations.
Right, right.
So, yeah, technically it'd be a question as to whether they should even be operating a daycare.
Well, perhaps they could do their homework, and if they need a text amendment, they can come back.
Yeah, because I really don't have a problem with a religious institution having a daycare type of program. But do we want to have people set up a house and all of a sudden have a business, you know, daycare business, which people do all the time. I mean, out by the university, there's several private houses that have put up signs in their daycare centers. And so we got to be careful in terms of that idea of a preschool or a daycare center, I think, to sort of, because I think people will start doing that more often. But I kind of agree with John. Maybe as we go through this process, we might want to think about in the definition of a religious institution, allowing daycare or preschools in that definition or in that statement. But not just open it up to anybody to do it.
If they pursue that idea, how about I just bring it to your attention?
Yeah.
Don't we already have one doing a preschool?
Mm-hmm. It's the same one I'm talking about.
And I think. Then you potentially have the risk of reverse engineering too, where if somebody wants to open up a preschool, they could now do so under some type of kind of religious identification. Mm-hmm.
That's always true. I mean,
did we finish RA2?
Okay, I'm fine with RA2 then.
You guys good?
Mm-hmm. RA2A.
Jim, you good?
Yeah.
RA2?
Yeah. Okay.
I guess the question in RA2A, let me look at the map for this real quick. All the other ones we allow, not all the other ones, but in the first three that we looked at, we allow religious institutions and that long definition. The question is, do we want to include that as a component in RA2A?
So it's really kind of, you got some ocean dunes.
I mean, that's the Keys, and I mean, it wouldn't be allowed anyway.
Yeah. It's just
because that's all controlled by HOAs.
So, John, is this just small little HOA groups?
Almost everything north of K is HOA.
Yeah, because I know that there's not a whole lot of RA2A. I mean, it's just really.
Well, it's an odd shape. It's actually fairly large.
There.
It includes all of the Curie Beach Village, Curie Beach Keys. I would recommend not including that. I would just leave it RA2A the way it is.
There's even a small HOA down south.
That's interesting because I didn't realize this, but the Curie Beach Village HOA actually cuts across two different zoning districts, RA1A and RA2A.
Well, RA2A would be the Keys.
No, the Keys, RA2A extends. Look.
It's like back in Sloop Point Lane?
It's right here, see? But that's RA2A and that's not the Keys.
Yeah,
the keys are
right here.
But then that's RA2A over there too.
Yep.
So, anyway, I would keep it the same. I wouldn't make any changes on RA2A.
Is there a consensus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good.
And I have to admit, I didn't look at RA2T. I forgot that we were going to look at that one.
Yeah, but I got to back up to RA2 since we have townhouses and condos in RA2A. And when you look at the definition of townhouse, It's basically a single-family dwelling unit in a series or group of attached units with a lot line, wall, or property line separating each unit. So to me, a townhouse is side by side, right? It doesn't have to be 20 of them. It could be two single dwellings. It's considered a townhouse. Is that correct?
But that ordinance also says multiple family dwellings, so I do have issues with that. I would like to see in 2A those definitions or those permitted uses maybe reflect one or two family dwellings only.
So take out multiple family dwellings.
Even though when you go to the definition of multiple family, or it says multi-family dwelling, it says a building that contains one or two dwelling units. Still, when you hear the word multiple or multi, you think more than two. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else in our code is pretty spelled out, you know, what you can have and what you can't. That's always been a hard outlier to me.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And as I think about it, when you look at RA2A, I don't think there are any condominiums in there, are there?
Well, there are. If you go to the village, Village Way, where all the duplexes are, those are all.
Yeah.
There's more than three on the left. Quite a few of those buildings.
Which brings me to the point I was trying to make. RA2 has numerous townhouses in it.
Because the property is underneath it, that's owned by. Because I own one.
Because I used to own one. I sold it, but mm-hmm. It was a townhouse in RA2 on 4th Avenue, right down by Public Works. There's several of them right in that area.
Yeah, and that's really nomenclature, really. It's a two-family dwelling, but they're designed and built as townhouses. And the difference between, say, a duplex and a townhouse is one construction type and or methods of construction. And the other difference is in a townhouse style building, you actually own the dirt directly underneath your unit.
Right.
And that's the way most of them are designed and built nowadays, because financing comes into play, and some of the financing terms and requirements are that you have to own some skin in the game, which is the land. I can expound on that a little bit more if you want me to.
So you would replace townhouses and condos and multiple family in 2A's permitted uses? Replace it with one and two family dwellings?
Yeah, there's no need to get bogged down with townhouses and condominiums. I mean, that's just basically a method of construction right there. I think the more concerning thing is how many townhouses and condominiums can you have?
I think that consistency between the districts would be a good thing.
Just call it one and two family dwellings?
Well, just like on the previous district. RA2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one and two family dwellings.
So are you suggesting taking out single family dwellings also and replace it with one and two family dwellings?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, C, and replace it.
Take out A, B, C and replace it with one and two family dwellings.
John, you good with that?
I just want to point out locally, in doing so, you're going to make some of these properties non-conforming. Or they're legally non-conforming, but I'm just pointing that out.
Which ones would be non-conforming?
All the ones in...
I mean, you got four...
I guess it's the Curie Keys.
In the Keys, you've got some of the units that are actually technically townhomes that are four. There's four attached... Mm-hmm. You know, they're four together rather than two. But they are townhomes, though, because they own the land underneath it.
And so...
Which is fine. I won't get hung up on that. I'm just talking about... You got one building, even though they're townhouses and they're all separated. How many units do you want in that one building?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, right around the pond, right there, there's, I think, two... I think there's two that are four units together.
Yeah, there's definitely some fours in there.
Yeah.
Also, a brand new building down on Fort Fisher Boulevard that has four units that was just completed.
Right.
And that technically would be a townhome too?
They are townhomes.
Mm-hmm. So John, are you trying to clarify, so are you recommending against that?
I'm just pointing it out.
Well, I don't think we should.
It's not in the ordinance, and here's where I came from on my interpretation for the one that just got built down on Port Fisher Boulevard. This says townhouses and condominiums. It doesn't say how many, so that particular builder came to me and said, well, what does density allow? Well, it's a 10,000 square foot lot, so it allows 4 units.
Gotcha.
I don't think we should make anybody non-conforming, you know, with what we're doing here. I think what we need to do is keep everybody conforming, but kind of clean things up. So given what John just mentioned, perhaps we should replace A, B, and C with 1 and 2 family dwellings and townhomes or something. You know, like that one?
Just rely on density as the governing...
Just rely on density then as a governing component there. And that way we're not making the keys non-conforming.
Does that work for you?
I'm fine either way, sir. I'm just pointing out that.
Well, again,
Well,
I mean, you know, you're the resident expert here, so we're just trying to learn from you kind of what you think makes best sense.
I will take that multifamily dwelling out there.
Yeah, okay.
But are you okay with what Craig just recommended, though? Is 1 and 2 family units?
Density will be the ruling factor there, and if you look at
So say 1 and 2 family units and townhouses. So let's take out A, B, and C and replace it with 1 and 2 family dwellings and townhouses, or townhomes.
Yeah.
Townhouses.
Or you leave B and then just delete and condominiums.
Right.
So you got 1 and 2 family dwellings as A, townhouses as B.
And take out multiple family dwellings.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that either. So.
And then, John, I mean, if we're going to leave in townhouses, should we still have and condominiums, or should we delete and condominiums?
Well, condominiums, we don't have any condominiums in that zoning. I'm pretty sure we don't.
I don't think it's necessary to have condominiums in there. Nobody's going to build a condominium nowadays. It's just...
Okay. All right, so just townhouses.
They're trying to turn around and sell these properties. They're not building condominiums.
But it still could make non-conforming if we have an aged condominium in there.
I'm pretty sure we don't have any condominiums.
Non-conforming is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I understand.
It just means that you can't tear it down and build another one. But if it catches on fire or a house or a hurricane rips it apart or whatever, you can still rebuild it just like you have it.
Okay. All right, so again, trying to get to consensus. So A would be 1 and 2 family dwellings. B would be townhouses. C is a delete altogether. D and E stay as is.
That's fine with me.
You guys good?
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back to RA2T.
I looked at this. I didn't make any real notes on this because this is our manufactured mobile home district, the one that's conforming anyway. And it looks like it, you know, as I look at this very quickly, it's kind of the same issues that we've already talked about. There's no reason to have C or D. We can replace that simply with the definition of home occupations.
So all the way right there at the end.
Huh? Yeah, that's
all the way up north, right?
Yeah.
That's what we acquired.
Yeah, but we're required to have one.
Yeah, we have to have one zoning area that allows manufactured homes.
Oh, really?
That's state law.
Okay.
Would you also delete F?
And I would delete F also.
Okay. So what was your recommendation, Craig? Sorry.
Is take out C and D and F and replace that with the definition, again, of home occupations as defined in KBC 1502010.
Is there any reason why you'd leave E there?
No, I mean, there aren't any churches in there, are there? So I guess we could remove E. Yeah.
I mean, are we like consciously not wanting a church in that zone?
It's going to be in a trailer.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's homes in there too. It's just not all trailers.
Yeah.
Anybody consciously is trying to restrict churches, I'm just looking at the likelihood that it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I think having
Yeah, I don't know why you delete it.
I mean,
because if somebody wanted to do it, you'd want to restrict in the way it's defined.
Is there any harm in keeping it if we don't have them?
I don't think there's any harm somebody in keeping it. Right. Somebody wants to put one there.
Have a home group.
I mean, the only difference is if somebody wants to put it there, they would be allowed if we leave it in, and if somebody wanted to put one there, wouldn't be allowed if we take it out.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So are we trying purposely not to have it?
We don't allow it.
Well, part of your job is to consider the aesthetics and the overall look and character. You provided for churches in three or four other districts that we've talked about. I don't see, if there's nothing there, what's the harm in not allowing it in that one since you've allowed it in other places?
So just leave it in.
Well, if you want it, I think you can do whatever you want. You can take it out or leave it in.
I
think we should leave it in.
If you leave it in, it's just a fight that you won't need.
Right. That's fine.
Exactly.
That's fine. Yeah.
So we're leaving E.
So leaving E, take out C, take out D, take out F, replace C, B, C, and F with the definition of home occupations, and leave in E, A, B, and G.
Okay.
Okay.
Consensus.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Consensus.
Recommendation. That finishes what's on the agenda for those districts. If you want to go ahead, if you want to do this, here's what I propose. If you want to go to the next set of districts, let's list them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then instruct who you want to prepare the agenda document, since I don't have any problem doing that. If you do another five or six districts, I'll do it like we did tonight.
That's just printing off the districts then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've got three more residential.
One other point before we leave what we are finishing up. These are easy enough. I can bring back the proposed text amendments for you all to review and report on. Do you want to feed them to council in stages, or do you want to feed them to council all at one bite?
Well, I think one bite's the best way.
Yeah, let's talk about kind of what we think we want to tackle for next meeting, to kind of get a feel for how long it's going to get drawn out to get through all this. We've got three more residential districts.
I think those
zones.
Will be easy.
I would think so,
be like tonight, where we might get into a bit of a discussion is in the more commercial and business districts.
I think we should separate the residential from the business discussions, or we're going to confuse ourselves.
It looks like RB1 is a combination of the two. So do we want to tackle the next four?
I don't think RB is RB1 the one that, well, what's the one that was that little slot over on Curie Beach Way? Is that RB1?
The only RB1 we have is down off of Davis Beach Road.
What was that district that was, they had that little shop there at Curie Beach?
That's
B3. I mean, that's a non-point anymore. I mean, that's already been built into a residential.
I would think, just having been on council, that feeding them in small pieces would probably work better.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because the first one they get, they're probably going to discuss it the way we have, and then they'll get used to what it is that they're trying to do. It's just an opinion, but...
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I have no problem giving
that. I concur with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to suggest that we go through all of them before we give anything to council, because when we're on the last one, we may find something that we should have thought of on the first one, and I don't want to give council something twice.
That actually is a good point. We've done that tonight, where we've had to go back and revisit. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we could... If by the time we get through the end of it, Attorney Eldridge has already drafted, you know, what we needed for the first, then they're ready to kind of go.
We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Or we can provide the residential in one packet and then the business in the other packet to the council.
Yeah. So do we want to, again, just throwing it out there, I mean, do we want to tackle the next four?
The residential?
There's three residential and then one combination.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
And
I'll make a motion.
Your business. After
you
that.
Missed the four districts.
RA3, RA3A, RA4, RB1.
Do we need to have a motion to have this on our agenda? Mandy?
I got it.
Okay.
Everybody good? Consensus on that? Okay.
So RA3, RA3A, RA4, and RB1. And I'll handle the agenda after that.
Okay.
All right,
that was good. All right, so anything anybody else has? Since we've gone through the agenda at this point? All right, we do have a request to go into closed session.
Yeah, y'all want to entertain a motion to go into closed session for attorney-client. Yeah. Somebody write this down. For attorney-client privilege under GS 143-318.11A3.
I'm impressed.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session for attorney-client privilege as per GS 143-318.11A3.
There you go.
Well done.
Yes. It is actually written on the agenda. So. All right. Second. Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Okay. That concludes tonight's meeting.
Does it?
Oh, actually, we're going to have to
come back.
We have to come back and then adjourn.
We're going to go into this conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you're coming too. Come on. Yeah, you should. I should.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea what this is about?
I think just ask.
Oh, okay. I don't know, fire it.
Yeah. Mindy, are you?
I'd like for the alternate to come in and the liaison. Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
Okay. Mindy, you got to keep the record, though?
No.